And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, we are going to jam with Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to share with you a never shared before teaching under, get ready for the theologians, the dynamic application principle, the DAP principle. It's for Noel and I, but it has a broad impact on each one of us who hears God's word. And I wanted to say, what does that mean? It's for Noel and you. Well, that's how I received it. And then my understanding grew as it applied to everybody else. Several principles are in this material, but we will do our best to present each one as it builds upon another and then upon another and upon another. Your job, you have a job in listening to this show. Your job, if you decide to accept it, is to determine which principles or which multiple principles apply to you. That's your job. That's between you and God. Next, the first value is to understand that in Deuteronomy 8:7, we get to see God brings Israel into a new land. So we often teach this insight at the beginning of a new year, but its application is always available. This can be new relationships, new jobs, new finances, new ministries, new fellowships, new health, new attitude, new mindsets, new routines, new geographies, or anything else that's a part of our Christian journey. God is always, always doing new things. Instead of thinking you're in a rut, let's start seeing the new that God wants us to walk in. And finally, what is that ticket? When we have come to the place where we have eaten and when we have been satisfied and we are told by the Lord that guess what we need to do? Here's your ticket. You need to praise the Lord. Now, why is that critical? It's because if we don't thank the Lord for the good things that are going on, we will forget the Lord and tend to think that the new is our own accomplishment. So the answer to that is don't do that.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities. Noive! So much more. Hey, remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. Whether you're in San Diego, whether you're in Denver, whether you're in Dallas, or whether you're in Detroit, you can text us. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Ooh. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. But when you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages and sizes, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Nah, you love this one. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like eating your favorite ice cream. Aww. I mean, come on.
Thank you, David. What's your favorite ice cream?
That's an excellent question. I will tell you now, in the overall scheme of life, I am a peanut butter and chocolate ice cream guy.
Okay.
I mean, that's just one of my, if you're going to go standard-wise, I'm totally cool with all the weirdo flavors. I have zero problem with that whatsoever. When I was a much younger lad in Detroit, I had a cousin, Jeff Spoon, who owned a 31 flavors back in the day, Baskin-Robbins, so I could always get ice cream free by going to the mall. That was great, but now there's 3 billion flavors, so it's hard, it's hard to pick.
Yeah, the other day, I don't know if this is like a new thing. The other day I saw an ice cream that had pineapples in it.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah,
pizza, Hawaiian pizza, which my friend Rob says is blasphemy. But I'm just saying, you know, but yeah, really, pineapple in the,
right.
Really? And it's not like pineapple sherbet?
No. Just like, no, it was like actual like pineapples, yeah.
Wow, that, okay.
Yeah, I passed by it. I was like, that's new.
Different, okay. Yeah. All right, so we just want you to know, if you've got a prayer request, call us or text us or send an email. If you've got a praise report, call us or text us or send an email, because that's the way we engage with one another. It's all about Hebrews 10:25. You don't know Hebrews 10:25, find it in your Bible, circle it. If you mark Bible, some people don't mark Bibles, which is fine, use a notepad. But if you mark your Bible, mark that one. You know, the idea is to encourage one another as we see the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. That's what we do. That's our goal. That's all it is, to help you and me and all of us get one step closer to the Lord. We also do trivia, as well as history, as well as some other goofy things. Here's your trivia question for today. You guys should know this. It's a kind of an obvious answer, but I'm still going to have to put it out there for you. Who destroyed the golden calf made by Aaron? Who destroyed the golden calf made by Aaron? Was it Miriam, Moses, or Joshua? Who destroyed the golden calf made by Aaron? Was it Miriam, Moses, or Joshua? Your reference point, Exodus 32:18-20. If you can't access a Bible, use your best judgment. You can guess. There's nothing wrong with that. You know we're very cool about that. If you want to, you can call 972-445-0770. That's a number you can call, and you can answer the trivia question. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who destroyed the golden calf made by Aaron? Was it Miriam, Moses, or Joshua? See, I can't even talk. That's close. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
So every day that you're breathing and every day that you have breath, spend time with God. I love that people love the show. Yeah, apparently not everybody loves the show. But I love that people love the show. But this is not spending time with God. It's spending fellowship. It's just you need to have separated time with the Lord. And I do want to say something, and this came up the other day, and so I want to make sure people don't get legalistic on me. So I've been doing this a lot. I've been a Christian for only 45 years, so it's not that long, okay? But I've been doing my very, very diligent devotions for, it's 10 days away from 26 years without missing a day, okay? That's good. That's not bad, okay? But don't get legalistic where you have to do certain things certain ways. So yesterday when I had to have a doctor's appointment, one of the things that I did was I always pray for about, it's fair to say I pray for about 45 minutes in a prayer session, and I do my Bible study for about 45 minutes every day, okay? That has nothing to do with the show or anything like that. It's just me, personal, okay? And that's not bragging. It used to be shorter, and then it just kind of grew and grew and grew and grew. Because of my circumstance, I could only pray for 25 minutes at one point and then had to finish praying at another point. And I don't see that as a legalistic problem, as long as during the prayer time, it's me and the Lord separated. So if you have to split it up and coordinate your time, don't get legalistic. Don't get weird about it. Just spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. And if you got to split up, do some different things because something has come up and you can't change it, you do it fine. But your key is to draw closer to the Lord daily. And I mean every day. Hang out with the Lord. Hang out with the guy in the sky on every day that ends in Y. All right. That's D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. This is absolutely the tactic of Satan against the church, using the world and the political system for people to be ashamed of what the Word of God has to say and to say, oh, well, that's not what culture does. That's not what culture. Hey, cultures change, kingdoms change, politics change, nations change. The truth never changes. Okay? 2 + 2 doesn't become 7 because one of the twos doesn't feel like it. Okay? Not how it works. That's N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, Luke 9:26. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
So the importance of this was struck to me even yet again today. It's impossible to read the Gospels and not pick up how important that is. It's like, I'm just saying, it's just incredible. So in Luke 22, at the Last Supper, after there's a couple of moments where Jesus talks about, he institutes the new covenant through his blood, he makes mention that Judas, this is Luke 22 version, he makes mention that Judas, the one whose hand is with him at the table, is going to betray him. And then the very next portion of Scripture has to do with who's the greatest amongst them. So it's really funny if you understand Scripture, because here in one point, God is saying, God is communicating, you know, Jesus is saying, Judas is going to, you know, my betrayer is right here. His hand is on the table with me. Wow. And so everybody can tell, well, that's the worst person, because they all were asking one another, was it me? Is it me? Is it me? But the very next thing they started asking, is who's the greatest? So what you got to catch in Scripture, which is hilarious, is the first thing is who's the worst? Who's going to betray him, right? But then the very next verse is, but who's the greatest? You see, that's so normal. You just got to get that. And Jesus makes it clear. It's not the people that are ruling and reigning and acting like they have authority. The greatest among you is the servant among you. That's the greatest. You want to be great in the eyes of God versus the eyes of the world, then you serve. And Jesus even said, you actually be like the younger, and you be the servant. That's what God is requiring of us. So we draw closer to the Lord daily, D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, and then A, always be ready to serve. You can just tell I'm on fire today. This is going to be a very intense rest of the show. It's all I can tell you. Your trivia question, who destroyed the golden calf made by Aaron? Is it Miriam, Moses, or Joshua? You have a little bit of time to answer. You can call 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I'm not going to spend a bazillion hours explaining to you the DAP. The DAP is a theological principle that there's very few people, and if you Google it, you will not find it. That's how few people, you think I'm kidding. Oh, I'm not kidding. There are a group of people, not a large group, of people that understand the Scripture is written to us all at mass, in large. It's, you know, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. You know, it's dear human race, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, love God. That's in mass. That's how it's written to everybody. 39 in the old, 27 in the new. Got it. Okay? About 845 or 46,000 words. If it's the King James, I think it's like 790-some-odd thousand if it's NIV. It changes all the time because they do updates no matter what anybody says. So here's the bottom line. There are also times when you read the book and there is something in the book that jumps out at you personally, as though the Lord is reminding you personally. You already know it's in mass. You've already read it before. You already understand, right? But there are times where it just like the words leap off the page for you, right? This is where we understand Hebrews 4:12, that the Word of God is alive. Right? It's a lie. It's living. And so there's times where you read it, and it's like you read something, you've read it 10 times before, and you go, oh, I never saw that. And it's as though the Holy Spirit is making it relevant for you personally. It's not a personalized message, but it is a personal application. And that's called DAP, the Dynamic Application Principle. Okay? And you just look all you want. You're not going to find it. In fact, I was going to write my doctorate on that, but I'd still be writing it
and I've been in my doctor for 2 years, so I was thinking that's a good call not to do that.
Anyway, so here's the bottom line, because it's still there and I still teach it. So here's the key. I'm going to read you a portion, and I want you to just pick on. This was sent for Israel, but I want you to pick up on the coolness that you can do if you will just be alert to what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us through the Word. Here we go. We're going to actually start it in Deuteronomy 8:7, and we're going to start it when I get back. But first, I'm going to answer the trivia question, and then we'll start it. And I'm just hoping this is a super big blessing for everybody. In the meantime, who destroyed the golden calf made by Aaron? Was it Miriam, Moses, or Joshua? And the answer is, it's the big Mo. Moses is the one. That's your answer. Let's take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What can you do?
Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with these.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I hope you're getting ready. Well, I hope you're listening. If you're driving, though, don't close your eyes, okay? That's not a good idea. We don't believe in that. Here's your trivia question, and then we're not going to do anything else but that in the teach. A stone was used by a pillow, or as a pillow, by whom? Which person used a stone as a pillow? Was it Abraham, Elisha, or Jacob? Joanne and Cordelia answering before I even finish the question. That's how strong they are. A stone was used as a pillar by whom? Abraham, Elijah, or Jacob? Genesis 28:18 is going to be your reference point. So somebody used a stone as a pillow, which, by the way, I find amazing. I don't know if it can't just be me, but he's using a stone as a pillow. No leaves, no, there's nothing else. Couldn't take a big amount of sand and dirt, squish it together in the form of a pillowy kind of shape. Instead, I'm going to use this stone. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what to say. What do you think of that?
Might have some neck problems. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is where chiropractic stuff came from, because this is, but couldn't you just take the dirt or the sand and mush it together? Okay. He's a stubborn guy, so I'm not going to say that. All right, was it Abraham, Elijah, or Jacob that used a stone as a pillow? If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. You're looking for Genesis 28:18. We'll be very specific. Let's get into the text. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7, please hold on. Here's what it says. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Oh, man. Oh, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. I don't know what that land is for you. Perhaps for a personal application, this could have to do with relationships. It could have to do with jobs or employment. It could have to do with money. Finances. It could have to do with ministries, maybe different fellowships, maybe some health improvements, maybe some attitude or mindset improvements. After all, if we're thinking about the Lord, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Isaiah 26:3. It's like, okay, there's a way right there. There's a mindset. Or routines. Maybe the Lord's got a new routine for you. Or geography. He wants to take you somewhere else. Or anything else that's a part of your Christian journey. The Lord's going to bring you into land. And I got a message for you. The Lord's not bringing you into land. It's like, this is lousy land. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Can you say amen? Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody knows that. Everybody's familiar with that. The Lord's not sitting there going, I'm going to make everybody's life miserable. I'm bored. This is not an experiment. This is relationships. And so the Lord said, I'm going to bring you into a new land, the whole people of Israel. But this has application for you and I. What's new? What's coming? Hey, if you're in a rut, it's not God's fault. If the pipe is clogged, it's clogged on your end, not God's. And so he promises Israel in Deuteronomy 8, a land with streams and pools of water, springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, a land where bread will not be scarce. You'll lack nothing. Now, how cool does that sound? I read this before I went into radio ministry. You want to know where the connections are. Right? Like, ooh, cool. Like, I had no idea. I've been involved in 7 church plants. I've been involved in deprogramming from cults. I've been involved in things I'm not supposed to say on the air, but let's just say not all the forces there were good. Or let's say it this way. There was a lot of evil spirits there, too. I mean, I've been involved in all that. And then the Lord's like, I got this new thing. I'm like going, what? What? It's not enough? I guess it's not enough. There's more to do. Right? That's how the Jewish people say. What? Okay. So there's a new land. And here's the thing I'm telling you. There's something new coming. You think there's nothing new coming? Really? Maybe you should read Revelation 21:5. I behold, I make all things new. Are you forgetting that God does new? That's why you're born again? New? And so there could be something coming your way. It could be in any of those areas. It could be something simple. It could be something huge. I don't know. Could be grandchildren, could be children, could be relationship, could be any, could be money, could be position, could be ministry. I don't know. But God knows. And he's going to bring it into your life. And it does have application. And you know that he loves you. And he, you know he's not looking to harm you. God's not doing this to harm anybody. You understand that? That's why it's important. So even me, who's an anti-prosperity guy, in the sense of I don't like the prosperity gospel. I don't. I'm not going to, you know, I think there's just way too goofy. That does not mean that I don't think the Lord blesses people. That's absurd. And this kind of approach, this kind of element, when I got this word, I was like, really? There's something net new coming? Really? Yeah. So instead of just burying it the way that I would typically do, which you and I have all done throughout our Christian walks, I said, okay, bring me the new. I'm ready. I don't know what it is. I didn't even have any idea. It was new ministry, new everything. Who knew? And new geography with it, and new this, and new that. Who knew? But God has great things for you. As one of my favorite sermons of all times, I mean, just one of my favorites. Great things are coming. The GTAC campaign. I know Eric loves this much, like I do. GTAC campaign. Great things are coming. Stop thinking that everything that's coming is going to be a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. For crying out loud. If God wanted to terminate everybody, he would have. Okay? But the Lord does things in the midst of the most horrific things. And he's doing stuff. And there's new stuff for you. So get your antenna up, your spiritual antenna, and be aware. Now, what I love is this first admonition, and this is really important. This is what it says in verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. So this is a really important point that I will not allow to be underserved, and that is we come into this land, we get into this place, we start getting there. It's not that you're fully in it, but you're getting into it, you're growing into it, you're developing into it, and you're eating, and you're starting to get that sense of satisfaction. You know the Lord's doing something cool. Here's what the Lord says. Praise the Lord for the land he's given you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then people go, well, that doesn't mean all circumstances. Well, then God's a liar. I mean, that's all you got. Because he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Well, he didn't mean all circumstances. What, Paul didn't know how to write? He didn't know how to say that? And then you get this as the caveat at the back part of that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. People spend their lives looking for the will of God. Here's the first thing. You want the specific will of God? Do the general will of God. Here's the general will of God. The general will of God for you in Christ Jesus is to give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because it demonstrates faith for whatever it is you're encountering. That you trust that God is going to work it out for good. That's why.
You think, I know, but it's terrible.
Sure is. Many things are terrible. But they turn to good because God works all things out for good. What do you mean, all things? See how we got these same things going on? All circumstances, all things. Romans 8:28, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Kind of hard to miss this. So we should be thanking God for everything. That's his will for us. That's the command of Scripture. Why? Because it's going to get there. And you're going to be in the land. And it's going to be new. And there's going to be a satisfaction. And you better stop whining about it and start thanking him. And in that, as difficult as that even sounds, because it's crazy faith, right, which is what God loves, on top of that, when you're giving thanks, you're exercising genuine faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is what the Lord gave me. This is what I'm sharing with you. If it has any resonating in you, if you're like, oh, man, that's the Lord making it applicable. Get that? I'm going to stop there. I'm going to answer the triv. Okay. The trivia question was, a stone was used as a pillow by whom? Was it Abraham, Elijah, or Jacob? And your answer is Jacob, Genesis 28:18. So, yeah, I still don't know why he didn't use dirt. I can't figure it out, but I'll let you know when we get back. I'm not even going to think about it anymore. We'll just forget that and move on. Then we'll come back, take a break here. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I'm not going to do an overriding teaching that will make the Baptists or the Church of Christ proud, so neither one of you groups can be all excited about this, because that's not the purpose of this. Here's where we're picking it up. As verse 34 ends, the eunuch asked Philip, what was Isaiah talking about, himself or someone else? Verse 35 from Acts chapter 8 says, Philip began with the same scripture and then began to tell him about the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is some water. Why can't I be baptized? So let's just stop right there. When Philip was explaining the gospel to the eunuch, he had to include the understandings or the teachings of baptism, or the eunuch never would have said, why can't I be baptized? He never would have said it, never would have come up, unless Philip had brought that information to light. In multiple translations, it then says, you can, Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart. And the eunuch replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is often known as believer's baptism. Some texts will show this in the footnote. I disagree that it should be reduced to the footnote. I think it's a part of the text. I would not fellowship with you over that. I just think it is a part of the text because he asks a very pointed question. And in this exchange, Philip is giving a very pointed answer. So he's like, well, there's some water. I want to be baptized. I want to respond to the gospel. I want to say yes. And Philip responds by saying, you can. You can get baptized. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. Now, why that's important is because this is the difference between many different groups about who can be baptized. Some people think, well, a child can be baptized. Yeah, but a child can't believe in Jesus, so then how can a child be baptized? That's the argument, okay? Those are not fellowship issues. Those are disagreements. You know, I spent 10 minutes talking about understanding who's got the Spirit of God and who doesn't have the Spirit of God. When you have a difference of application of Scripture, that person's not an evil person. They're not some kind of demonic whatever. They see something different than you. Okay. They're genuinely in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is what redeems us. They are acknowledging their heavenly Father, praying, Our Father who art thou in heaven. They drink of the same Holy Spirit. They come to a different conclusion. Yeah. What else is new? Does everybody think McDonald's is the best fast food? Are you kidding? There's only a few people. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where you can tell that my brain is on fire today. I just want to say that. Here's your trivia question. Which prophet predicted the duration of the captivity would be 70 years for Israel? Was it Ezekiel, Jeremiah, or Micah? Which prophet predicted the duration of the captivity for Israel would be 70 years? Was it Ezekiel, Jeremiah, or Micah? I cannot give you a reference because that will give you the answer. see, there's a limit there. But I will say it's one of the major prophets. Let's see if you can figure that out. Okay? Which prophet predicted that the duration of the captivity would be 70 years, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, or Micah? In the meantime,
thought of something funny. Like, your reference is the Bible.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. My reference is somewhere on the 66 books. That's good. I should start using that. That's a great idea. In the meantime, we're going to send you up to the website. And the website is place to give, place to learn, place to grow, place to laugh, place to cry, because there's really sad stuff up there, too. All that stuff, check it out on the website. Giving is good, by the way. HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Yeah. All right, I can do this one, two jokes, and then we can get back into the teaching. But I'm telling you right now, I mean, this is going to be some serious, well, it's not serious, but it's really, I think, cool teaching. All right, here's a couple of jokes. Just get ready, and then we'll do the trivia once again, then I'll go right back into the teaching. A young woman, ready? You got your buzzer ready? Okay. A young woman is speeding down a freeway when she is stopped by a highway patrol officer. The officer asks if he can see her license. The woman replies angrily, "I wish you guys would make up your mind. Just yesterday, you took away my license, and now you expect me to show it to you." Oh, come on. All right, here's the last one. What happened to the robber who stole the lamp? What happened to the robber who stole the lamp? He got a very light sentence. Okay. See, I would have reversed those. Just saying. I had to reverse them. I'm just telling you.
That last one was pretty dumb, but it was simple.
It was simple. To the point. And that's why you liked it. Jacob has just revealed himself. It's like that last one was dumb but simple, therefore. That's funny. All right. Which prophet predicted that the duration of the captivity would be 70 years? It's an Old Testament person, obviously. It's a major prophet. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, or Micah, if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is calling in, and so they will have the opportunity to perhaps answer the trivia question. We're going to find out. As long as they're not trying to tell Jacob, the whole mixture of how a chocolate cake is made. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Yes? Okay, let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Fiddler on the Roof.
I wish I were a rich man. La da 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 da. Exactly. Tradition. Anyway, how are you, brother?
No, earlier you were talking, and it's just reminding me the Fiddler on the Roof.
That's great.
I say you're Jewish. So.
Yeah, just a little. Just a little bit of Jewish. Not a lot, just a little. Just since birth. Anyway. Mm-hmm. All right, my friend. Trivia question. I'll set it up. You answer it for me. Which prophet predicted the duration of the captivity for 70 years? Ezekiel, Jeremiah, or Micah?
Ezekiel.
If it wasn't Ezekiel.
Jeremiah.
There you go. That's right. Your reference point, Jeremiah 25:12. That's why I couldn't give it. That's why I like what Jacob said. Your reference point is somewhere in the Bible. That's correct. How are things?
Good. Just
good. Good. How's the family feeling?
I don't know
feeling?
Why I'm feeling so tired today. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it's because all the spiritual warfare you've been going through.
It might be, or maybe something happening in my body.
Yeah. Tell it. No. Say it's the spiritual warfare.
Yeah, okay. Well, in that sense, I could use some good prayer.
You got it. Let's pray. Let's do it. Just because you're not the only one. Some people just need a charge. They just need to be built up. So let's pray for them as well. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for our brother Samson. We ask you to bless him. Lord, he's draining a little. And Lord, there is no place better to go than to you, who actually holds the energy of life. And so that's what we need. We need his drive, his push to be encouraged, revved up. Let him get, Lord, on top. Let him remember he's not the tail, but he's the head. Let him walk confidently, that he is a child of the Most High God.
and that you love him and you're with him. And Lord, the enemy, wow, the enemy wants us to stay in the dark and in the down. But you bring us up and put our feet upon a rock, not just for Samson, but for people who are hearing my voice, that they need an encouragement, a touch, a strengthening, an energy that comes from you. Specifically, you say in Colossians that it is your, Paul writes that it's your energy that enables him to do things. And so that we are asking for that energy to be transferred to your people through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. And a lot of time for everybody.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Appreciate you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, brother. God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, here we go. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. So I'm going to read it again, then we'll pick it up at verse 11. So the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Stop thinking the Lord's bringing you something lousy. A land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce, you'll lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and decrees that I am giving you this day. Verse 12, otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, you will build fine houses and settle down. And when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increases and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Listen, the scripture is absolutely clear. The reason that we praise the Lord, the reason that we do not forget his commands, the reason that we observe his decrees, the reason that we yield to his voice is because otherwise, as the Lord is bringing you into something new, as the Lord is bringing me into something new, and things start to expand. Verse 14 makes it clear that our hearts can become proud. And if our hearts become proud, then we forget the Lord. And this is a warning. If the Lord is telling us ahead of time, don't do it this way. You do it this way, this is going to happen. This is not what you want. You do not want to put yourself in a place where you're starting to get going and you're getting traction and you're moving forward. And then you're starting to think, yeah, I did this. This really changed. I did this. This was really helpful. And then you start to assess it. You start to evaluate it and you start to give yourself credit. And the Lord's going, don't do that. Don't do that. You'll become proud. And then you'll forget. You'll forget who brought you through it. Verse 15, he led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so it might go well with you. So the Lord's encouragement is, do not forget the Lord your God. Do not forget to observe his commandments. Do not forget to observe his laws. Do not forget to observe his decrees. Do not forget to praise the Lord, or your heart will become proud and you'll forget that, hey, he brought you out of a desert into a new land. And the thing to remember is that when the Lord brings miraculous into your life. Water out of a rock. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but water is not supposed to come out of a rock. Okay? I'm not a physics expert, but I can pretty much sit here in this studio and say that is not supposed to happen. But no word from God will ever fail, and he promises to meet our needs. And then in verse 16, he gave you manna to eat in the desert, right? Here's the thing. My God will meet all your needs. He will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. How many needs will God meet for you? All of them. How come there's so many all of these things? Verse 16, gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, and so it might go well with you. What do you mean it might go well with you? Because when you're humble, that opens up the Lord pouring out blessings on you, and when you stay that way, it keeps the flow going. But when we get arrogant and prideful and forget the Lord, we hurt ourselves. And these are other things the Lord said. I've got great stuff for you. Here's what I want you to remember, folks. I got great stuff for you. I'm going to do great stuff for you, okay? Remember my word. Remember my laws. Remember my decrees. Remember to be in a relationship with me. Remember, because if you don't remember, your heart's going to become proud, and you're going to forget. And if you forget, you're going to forget where you came from, where you are, and where you're going, and who's doing it. And the answer is, it's the Lord who's doing it. That's what we got to hang on to. Now, I got all this just before the radio ministry. What you need to figure out is which of these apply to you and apply them. Right? All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
On the phone with us today, our privilege to have Kirk Cameron, who is coordinating the conference for Love Worth Fighting For, a marriage event. Kirk, are you with us?
I'm here.
I'm glad.
I'm here. How are you? Thanks for having me on your show.
It's my privilege to have you on the show. I'm glad you're joining us. I got to tell you, here's something that nobody knows in all the world except for my wife. When you did the movie Fireproof in the 2008 period, it is the only movie in my entire life, and I'm in that post-50 category, it's the only movie in my entire life that I gave to other friends as long as I've been alive because I thought it would be beneficial for their marriage. It was truly an inspirational movie that, in my marriage, it's a great marriage. It just encouraged me to make it that much greater.
Oh man, that's great to hear. That encourages me a lot, and I've heard other people have said that as well. And you know, my hat goes off to the guys who wrote the script and the church that made the movie. And I was really honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, you did a great job, man. I really got to tell you, man. I know there's you got things that you grow up with, and you did things with it, but that kind of stuff, where you have an opportunity and you were able to play a character that really conveys. Hey, at times in marriage, there's a struggle, but there's this promise from the Lord. There's this capacity from the Lord to have a marriage that gets better and better as long as you're in it and not sitting on the outside watching it.
Right, right on, man. I often say that marriage never fails. Marriages do not fail. People fail. God made the universe. He made it perfect, and we introduced some sin, selfishness, death, destruction into it, and we do the same with marriage. It's perfect, and then we allow bitterness, unforgiveness to creep in and stay there. So what the Love Worth Fighting For event is all about, what Fireproof is all about, and by the way, Love Worth Fighting For, our marriage event, grew out of the Fireproof movie. It basically takes the movie and turns it into a live event. And we bring it to your church, and we talk about those kind of things, is how to resurrect a marriage that has been damaged by selfishness and by bitterness. And where do you find joy and hope and healing? God gives us the capacity for those things, and we talk about where you find it.
If Jesus.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question should be an easy one. What were the elements that God used to create man? Was it iron and zinc, sun and rain, or the dust of the earth and the breath of life? Your answer is in Genesis 2:7. What were the elements that God used to create man? Was it iron and zinc, sun and rain, or the dust of the earth and the breath of life. Reference Genesis 2:7 if you think you know, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am going to do a brief history, and then we'll do the teaching and finish it up. So let's give history a roll.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, so we do have somebody calling in on that trivia. We're going to give them a chance to answer. I do want to say the couple things that are going on today. On this day in 1922, the Eskimo pie was invented, which means that the Eskimo pie is 102 years old today.
I think that's hilarious.
For those that also do not know, today is National Peanut Butter Day. I love peanut butter, so there's no problem there. National Compliment Day, so I'm going to give Jacob a compliment. Not only are you doing a great job on the board, but you have an excellent taste in your favorite food.
Thank you, David, and you're doing a great job running the show.
Thank you.
It's not me, it's you.
And that's funny because today is Global Belly Laugh Day. Ah, that's great. That's all for history. Somebody is on the phone to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ken.
Can you turn your radio down or your window up?
Okay, it's down. This is Ken.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Okay, I can't hear you, but I was going to answer a trivia question. I cannot hear you, though.
Okay.
You can't
or not. Okay, give me the trivia answer. Give me the answer.
The answer is the dust of life, the dust and the breath of life.
That is correct, sir! Yes! Yes! Yes, sir! Excellent job!
All right, yeah, I can barely hear you, David, but I just want you to know that I love your show, and one day, I just want to meet you one day.
You got it.
And life would be even better.
It'd be my privilege. Thank you.
So, but you're in and out, but one day, if I can ever meet you, you're one of the greatest guys, and my life is already great, and it's going to be greater if I just meet the greatest folks.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. You have a great day, David.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Everybody.
Bye-bye. That was fun. Sometimes the wind is windy. I don't know. You can't do anything about that, right? So we do the best we can.
Sounded like he was driving through a hurricane.
Was he in Tennessee?
Right.
Tell him.
No, he was in Kansas.
Exit while you can. All right. Anyway, excellent call. Great job. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I look forward to meeting you one day as well. Let's finish up on this text. Really cool stuff. So we're at verse 17. I'm going to whip through this, but it's really good. Verse 17 of Deuteronomy 8 says this: "You may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my own hands have produced this wealth for me. But," this is verse 18 of 8:18 Deuteronomy, "but remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so then confirm his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today." So let's just understand this real quickly. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember your creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. Remember the creator in the days of your youth." That's number one. And so you need to remember, and I need to remember, God. God is doing this. God is enabling me to do this. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." There's another one of those all things, right? All. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when we get to a point where things do go well, what we have to be careful of is that we have a propensity in our bad nature to think, I'm doing this. Yeah. I'm doing this thing. It's like, no, you're not. You're not even breathing without the help of God, let alone people are like, well, you can go how many days without water? How many days without food? How long can you go without breathing? Well, every breath you take is a gift from God. Therefore, everything you do is an extension of that gift. Just that simple. So it says, remember the Lord your God. So never get to the place, we can never afford to be in a place where we're like, my power and strength, I've produced this for me. I've produced this wealth. I've produced this good. I've done this. And no, you didn't. I love that I do my devotions. The Lord showed me so clearly when I was visiting John in Houston. It's like, you didn't do this. I did this for you. I'm like, okay. Well, that's a really great discipline, Dave. Yeah, not if God didn't help me do it. I wouldn't even, not even close. Not even in the ballpark. So verse 18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirm his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers even unto this day. I need to close with this text right here, and it's this. So also Abraham believed God, this is Galatians 3, 6, and 9, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Cool. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. That's you. That's me. Oh, cool. And what do we know for sure? It's God that's doing it. Right? I know there's hard things that you get through, but we get through them. Think, well, who knows what this year is going to bring? God does. And he's already got it figured out. It's all done. He's not, there's nothing that the Lord's not going, oh, I didn't see that coming. That doesn't happen. He's got you covered. The question is, are you close enough to him to know you're covered? That's the question. So you go back to that one verse, which is my favorite. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirm his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. You know who gave you that ability to do it all? God did. And that's what we have to remember. And if we do that, we won't get proud. We won't forget the Lord. And we'll continually praise the Lord. That is the DAP for Deuteronomy Chapter 8, verse 7 through 18. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish myself. I go down to the jail of my soul.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.